Right, grab a Bible, please, and turn to page 611, which will be Proverbs chapter 8. And Mike's going to come and read it to us in a second. I feel like I should begin this by singing a bit of Frank Sinatra. And now the end is near, and so we face the end of Proverbs, or at least the end of... this is the end of... Is it 8 weeks we've done here? How long we've been in Proverbs? This is the last talk of our series on the first 8 chapters in Proverbs. Last week, Simon spoke to us in the first part of chapter 8. And after hearing about wisdom, in this chapter, wisdom speaks to us. We finally meet the character, the person of wisdom, who speaks to us through this chapter. And just three verses that Simon spoke on last week that I want to say first. Verse 6, listen, because I've got trustworthy things to say. Verse 10, choose my instruction. And verse 17, I love those who love me, and those who seek me will find me. Wisdom is calling us to listen and to follow. And we have a choice. How do we respond to wisdom's call? So this week is the rest of the chapter, the conclusion of wisdom's message, and Mike's going to come and read to us now.
Proverbs chapter 8, beginning at verse 22. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was formed long ago, at the very beginning, when the world came to be. When there were no oceans, I was given birth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled in their place, before the hills I was given birth, before he made the world or its fields or any of the dust of the earth. I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizons on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so that the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was constantly at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, and delighting in the human race. Now then, my children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not disregard it. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord. But those who fail to find me harm themselves. All who hate me love death.
Cheers, thanks that much. Have you ever read a passage of the Bible and thought this might as well have still been written in Hebrew because I don't understand a word of it? For the first, I wouldn't say I got to the point that I was actually panicking, but there was about 3 or 4 weeks when I was kept on reading these verses and I really, really didn't understand what they meant. I thought it was beautiful poetry, but the idea of me standing up and speaking on this for 25 minutes was just starting to get my heart thumping just a little bit, in a healthy way. Recently, I went to the National Art Gallery for lunch, and I don't know if you've ever done it, but you walk in, and obviously there are paintings, as you'd expect. And I went into one room, and behind my shoulder was this massive painting of Venice by Canaletto that I'm going to stick up there in a bit. But because I went in with it behind me, all I could see at first was this, just the stunning beauty of the strokes. You couldn't see the picture, but I could just see the beauty of the artwork, really right in front of me, a painting of a boat scene. And it was only when I stepped back that you could actually see the entire picture. There we are. This absolutely stunning scene. So I was basically just looking at the beauty, and it's probably bigger than that in real life. And I was just looking at this stunning painting there, and you really couldn't see it until you stepped back and you could see the whole painting. And that's basically how I feel about this passage. Really, to understand it, you've got to step back and see it in its place in context in Scripture. You've got to see where it stands within the whole of the Bible. And when you do so, you realise this is an amazing prophetic passage. This is an astonishing piece of prophecy. Solomon wrote this somewhere between 800 and 900 years BC, before Christ. For weeks in this passage in Proverbs, we've been getting glimpses of this character of wisdom. Finally, with this passage today, and we look also at other passages in the Bible, it's like the big reveal. Do you remember? You probably wouldn't have got this great show in America. It was the biggest show here, Through the Keyhole. Do you remember that? With Lloyd Grossman. Who lives in a house like this? And he'd take you through the house, and there'd always be a couple of clues, wouldn't there? Look, it's a red T-shirt with a number 7. It's a woman who claims she's posh, and she's not. It's 3 kids with ridiculous names. Who lives in a house like this? And I feel that's what this passage is. When you look, it was David Beckham, by the way, in case you weren't sure who it was. That was my 3 clues to the house of David Beckham. And so when you look at other verses in the Bible, it helps give the big reveal. Almost like, once again, we get the unveiling of the Scooby-Doo villain at the end of Scooby-Doo. We can actually work out who this wisdom character is. So verses, the first part of today's passage, 22 to 31, is set before creation in Genesis 1. So we're looking right back to the start of the Bible. But the words, they also have the feel. They read like the start of John's Gospel, obviously written 900 years after this. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And in this passage, we can see there is someone in creation, someone before creation, standing alongside God the Father. And as with John 1, where John doesn't name the person who we later know it to be, John calls this figure the Word. In this passage here, this character is called Wisdom. And holding the jigsaw pieces of various passages of the Bible together, we can piece the jigsaw puzzle together, and we can clearly see that wisdom is the Son of God. Wisdom, the Son of God, is Jesus Christ. So this passage looks back to creation, but in reading it, as we have the luxury of having the New Testament, we can look forwards to see how this character mirrors Christ in the Gospels. It's a shame Richard's not here today, because I'm about to say something about astronomy. And this is something I believe is true. And we've got any other astronomers here? I love it when everyone shakes their heads. Oh, we've got Daz. Now, my understanding is this, that astronomers can tell that some planets exist or some suns exist without seeing them, but seeing how their gravity affects things that we can see. I'm getting a nod from someone who claims they know. We believe that is true. So astronomers can tell the existence of some planets without actually being able to see them by seeing the gravitational pull which affects other planetary bodies that we can see. Now, this was the point at which I thought a load of hands would go up saying we don't understand this. And when the preacher don't really understand it, we do have a problem. In the same way as we see that, Solomon, who never saw Christ, of course, can write about him. And seeing his affecting presence in creation. As I said, this is an amazing piece of prophecy. So he writes, "The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works before deeds of old. I was formed long ages ago. At the very beginning when the world came to be, when there were no watery depths, I was given birth. When there were no springs overflowing with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills I was given birth. Before he made the world or its fields or any of the dust of the earth, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundaries so the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth." This passage echoes Genesis 1, where we see the creation written there. And so between John 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word," and Genesis 1, we have this poetic, prophetic scene. I think one of the reasons I struggle to understand this was that there's nowhere in the Old Testament that explicitly references the Trinity. We just get glimpses of the plurality, of the 3-in-1, 1-in-3 nature of the Godhead. We get it, obviously, in Genesis 1, where it says the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. We see it in Psalm chapter 2 and elsewhere in the Old Testament, where we have lots of Father-Son mentions. Quite often when you hear God named in the Old Testament, it will say, I am God, I am God, I am God. A lot of things are mentioned three times. And we see this passage here today. And so we see a character standing alongside the Father, named here the Lord, during creation. And he says, I was there. I was there. So what kind of relationship does the Lord and wisdom enjoy? In poetic, prophetic words, Solomon reveals a character in communion with the Father. They share an intimate relationship. I was constantly at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in mankind. Constantly at his, God the Father's side, filled with delight, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his world and delighting in mankind. Wisdom here has personal, almost human characteristics. This figure has personality, is filled with joy. This intelligent, divine person can only be the Son of God. I think one reason I struggled to understand this passage was that I still do not understand much of the first two verses. Where it says, the Lord brought me forth as the first of his works and formed long ages ago. Is it simply that we as humans cannot understand the divine relationship between God the Father and God the Son? And also, of course, how the Holy Spirit comes into that as well. But that Solomon here, is he using poetic language that we can understand to explain a divine relationship which ultimately, as human beings, we cannot? However, what is important is this. Before creation existed the Son of God. And looking forwards in the Gospels, we see that wisdom, the Son of God, does have a name, Jesus Christ. As Tom Head stood up here 2 weeks ago, said, in the life of Jesus, he encapsulated wisdom. If you looked in a dictionary for the definition of wisdom, it wouldn't be unfair to say, look at the life of Jesus Christ. In his life, Jesus personified wisdom. He represented it. He embodied it. He was everything that wisdom was. So Jesus demonstrated his wisdom in what he said. The Pharisees, try as they might, the questions the Pharisees asked him had no right answer until Jesus came out with the right answer. And Jesus also demonstrated his wisdom in his character. He never sinned. Hebrews 4 says to us, we have one, this is talking about how Jesus is our great high priest in heaven. We have been tempted by one in every way, just as we are. Yet he didn't sin. Jesus was faultless. So it says, what are wisdom's instructions to us? Now then, my children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not disregard it. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For those who find me find life and receive favour from the Lord, but those who fail to find me harm themselves. All who hate me love death. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Throughout this series, we've heard time and again, find wisdom, find wisdom, find wisdom. In fact, it's been a criticism I've heard and a criticism I have made that a lot of these talks, the message has been find wisdom, find wisdom. It's repeated across chapters 1 to 8. I don't have kids, but I understand that if you teach them something important, you don't just teach them it once. If you're teaching a kid how to make a cup of tea with boiling water, you don't say, right, you've learnt it now. Now, I want you to make me a cup of tea every day and nothing will go wrong. I'm guessing you tell them again and again and again because it's important. No parent nods. Every parent now is thinking, I've been bad. Similarly, if you teach a kid to cross the road, you don't do it once and say, right, I've told you how to do it. Now off you go to school yourself. These messages are repeated here in this passage in the same way as teaching a child because they're important. As Dad said a couple of weeks ago, we forget so easily. The importance of this important stuff needs to be hammered home in this passage, in this book here. So why should we find wisdom? Here we have the reason for seeking and finding wisdom. Because those who find me find life and receive favour from the Lord. And there's also the warning that those who fail to find me harm themselves. They love death. So we're presented here with two choices. We find and follow wisdom and receive God's favour and life. Or we fail to find wisdom and so fail to follow it is the pathway to death. I'm going to show a clip now from one of my favourite films of my youth. Have any of you not seen the film Labyrinth? I'm going to show, yes, some thumbs going up. It's a great film. This is a young girl is lost in a maze and she has two choices. With Jesus, it's not like that. Jesus is honest and open and true. And so why should we follow this character of wisdom? If you're lost, it's always good to find someone who knows where they're going. Someone's holding a map. A couple of years ago, Jen and I went to watch West Ham Nottingham Forest in the third round of the Cup. And I was walking down East Ham High Street with my West Ham shirt on. It's not a joke. It's just unkind to laugh at that. And I was the only, there weren't many West Ham fans around in that part walking down there. And there was some Nottingham Forest fans all wearing, the whole family, mum, dad, son, daughter, the perfect whatever, 2.4, but there was four of them. And they were standing there and they were looking around East Ham, obviously not knowing where they were going. And I could see them looking a little bit scared, and as I would be if I was from Nottingham in East Ham High Street. And they looked at me in an imploring way, and I said, "Do you want me to show you how to get to the ground?" And it was quite obvious. I knew that I was going to the ground because I was there wearing a West Ham shirt. And so they followed me. It's like the worst anecdote I've ever told. Is that really the best I could do? Follow wisdom. The Son of God. Am I sounding really like I'm in a swimming pool here? Or is it just in my head? Oh, it is a bit loud, isn't it? Follow wisdom, the Son of God, because he knows the way. In fact, a whole passage where Jesus was speaking about where he was going to go after his time with the disciples, where he was saying, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So it says here, "Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway, for those who find me find life and receive favour from the Lord." So what can we take away from this? Well, for the not yet follower of Jesus, the message really in this little red, I really had not known this passage before until we came to study it now. This message in this little red, little known passage is this, a simple gospel message, find wisdom. Find Jesus, find Christ. Because wisdom's command is exactly the same as Jesus' was to Peter and Andrew 900 years after Solomon penned these words, "Come and follow me." Don't be like Solomon's own son, His own son was Rehoboam, became king after he died. I don't know how it must be to have your dad, who's been the wisest man who's ever lived, and yourself to be a fool. Rehoboam did not listen to wisdom. The choices that came to him were quite simple. And yet he managed to choose the foolish path. Solomon wrote, my son, follow wisdom. And yet his own son didn't. Don't be like that. And so what's the message for the follower of Jesus? I'd say the message is this. Keep following wisdom. Listen, watch and wait. Don't get drawn away. As Dad said, we forget so easily. Don't be like some of the seeds in the parable of the sower. The ones that fell in rocky places with poor roots, or the seed that got choked by weeds. Keep following wisdom. Instead of that, as it says in Hebrews, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And a final aside, as I said, I really struggled to understand this at first. And yet when, you know, as I said, I was able to put it in context and think I understand what it means, I got really excited about it. Recently, I was arrogantly sitting thinking, I just thought it was a shame that I felt I knew all the stories about Jesus. I'm one of these people, I like to find new things, you know, and I've been brought up in church reading the Gospels and reading the Bible, and I love finding new things. And I just felt, I was just a bit frustrated that I thought I knew everything about the Son of God. Certainly as it's written in the Bible. And then I found this passage and I got excited in a good way. At night shelter 2 weeks ago, there was a lad who turned up, didn't sit for the talk, but he actually grabbed the Bible, went outside and just read it. And you could just see a bit of excitement in his face. I was inferring that he was reading the passages for the first time. And I got that excitement when I read this, you know, when finally it went from just pretty poetry to actual words that had a meaning that went into my head. There is so much in the Bible that we don't know. There is so much fresh material to get excited about. The message has been announced by wisdom, the Son of God, since before creation. Listen to me, find me, know me, and live. Thank you.